studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
With emphasis on the live, and anything can go wrong.
Isn't that the truth? I tell you, this time it was, I'm sure it was Blog Talk, but anything can go wrong. You just never know. You know, when you think about it, the technology we're using is really pretty amazing. To believe that we can be using a whole studio with phone service and answering service and all that sort of stuff. And it's all, where is Blog Talk? I don't know.
Actually, I'm not sure either.
But they're not here, that's for sure. They're several states away somewhere.
That's right. We can't walk across the street and go,
No. But it is kind of amazing. It's always worked very well in the past. And it's just actually it's sort of astounding that this is the first time we've really had any really major problems that weren't our problems, especially. Yeah. We've had a couple of little ones that were ours, but... Most of the time, it's them.
Most of the time. And what caused the echo back is, well, I don't know. But hopefully we got it going. And things will work fine. Obviously, my cousin Murphy's in the house.
Yeah. Really.
Good old time. So this week's show is going to be a little bit short on the archives because I am going to trim the dead air off and then re-upload it. It is one of the advantages of having... Internet talk show, even though we are live, but, you know, for the archives, we can at least, the rest of our listeners don't have to go through all that.
Really? Well, welcome to the rest of our listeners, or all of our listeners, as a matter of fact, because I'm sure we have a couple. What did we have? Five of them on the last show, with five listeners, according to that were live, that listened. That was good. That's good.
Of course, it'd be even better if those five listeners, including the one in the chat room right now, could pick up the phone and dial, what was that number again?
646-721-9887. 646-721-9887.
And if you call now, within the next 40 minutes, you'll have the absolute pleasure of speaking with us. And what could be better than that?
Nothing is more pleasurable than that.
That's right.
Or more painful, depending on how you hear your point of view. If you've got a bad point of view, in our opinion, then it could be a painful experience. Well, not really. It's never a painful experience, but it could be eye-opening. That's what.
I just cry.
Oh, do you? Oh, well. No big thing.
No big thing that I cry.
Well, you and I are of differing opinions of what we want to talk about this week, because you said that you believe that we've talked Obama to death, and I wish we had, but... He's creating awful problems.
He is. I mean, no, Obama will always be in the news, especially his Obamacare and everything else like that. But
well,
he's not the only thing going on. But I just hope, please, folks, we tried hope and change. It wasn't the right hope and change we wanted.
Well, we got other things that are all also, because back to this Wisconsin thing, those people haven't come back. I think they need to be fired. Or whatever you do to congressmen when they do something bad, I guess you have to impeach them or whatever you have to do. But whatever I would do is I would put them all on leave, unpaid leave, permanently and right at the moment, and then go through impeachment processings, because you can't have your elected representatives leave the state, for God's sakes. That's just got to be – that confounds me. It's amazing.
Well, especially if they don't want the thing, then just vote no.
Well, yeah, you know.
That's what I don't understand. But speaking of congressmen, I got a couple clips I wanted to get into. We're going to kind of rush things a little bit because there's 39 minutes remaining in the show. And a couple things on the board here I want to get in the beginning of the show, which would have happened about 20 minutes. It would have worked right. But to kind of go along with what Cliff was talking about, and this has been... I'm getting hanging up on my headphones. And what Cliff was talking about, politics and congressmen, and this has been in the news all week long. Even Rush had a good time with this. Was on a Sunday morning program called Meet the Press, where interviewer David Gregory was trying to interview Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann to basically ask her about how she felt about the possible or the possibility of the government shutdown. And what had happened is that the commentator David Gregory became victim of one of the ruthless weapons that politicians have, which is known as the political doublespeak. And I got some clips from that. So here we go.
Well,
go ahead, Cliff.
I was just going to say that's more like political single speak. The only thing they'll talk about is their subject and nothing else, in which case, if I were the interviewer, I would just say goodbye, because if you won't talk about what we're talking about, then there's nothing to talk about. So, I wouldn't stay with that person. I'd go find somebody else, somebody who's actually interested in their career.
Well, that's true, but then again, they got the time slot to fill. But assuming that my cousin will let me do these clips okay, here's clip one. And my cousin is being... All right, this is good.
Have you heard the chief of staff, Bill Daley, say that he's optimistic that it's possible to avert a government shutdown? Are you as optimistic as he is?
Well, I'm hopeful. I don't think anyone wants to see the government shut down, but it is shocking the revelations of all the money that's been spent. There was a Congressional Research Service report that just was issued in February, and we discovered that secretly, unbeknownst to members of Congress, over $105 billion was hidden in the Obamacare legislation to fund the implementation of Obamacare. This is something that wasn't known.
Okay, that didn't really have anything to do with Gregory's question. So he figured that that Buchanan kind of misunderstood the question, so he asked again.
I'm going to stick with the narrow budget questions. Are you willing to vote to shut down the government over some of these add-ons to these spending bills to defund funding for the health care legislation, for Planned Parenthood, for the EPA?
I think the deception that the president and Pelosi and Reid put forward with appropriating over $105 billion needs to be given back to the people. There was no debate. There was no discussion. $105 billion is a lot of money.
Which is true, but what the heck does that have to do with the question about shutting down the government?
Well, in a way, it does answer the question, because she's saying that the money has already been taken out.
Well, that may be, but again, you know, she's talking about the $105 billion.
Yeah, I agree. Could at least try to answer the question.
Well, anyways, Gregory, again, is kind of trying to get to the point, so I got to give
patient,
him.
Patient, isn't he?
He is patient, and I got to give him credit, so... He's probably thinking at this point that she's totally daft. So he asks her again.
Congresswoman, my question is a very direct one. Will you vote to shut down the government over those riders?
Okay, very, very simple, very direct. Her response was,
I think that President Obama needs to give back that $105 billion that they already appropriated. They have tied the hands of Congress for the next 8 years, David. They already appropriated this money. Members of Congress didn't even know this money was in the bill.
Okay, and finally...
Perhaps they should have read the bill.
In the interview, she comments that that's why Nancy Pelosi says, we got to read the bill to know, or pass the bill to know what's in it. Well, finally, you can tell Gregory is just getting a little bit upset here, and here's what he does.
I'm asking you a direct question here about whether you think, as head of the Tea Party caucus, whether Boehner has failed to live up to the Tea Party's expectations.
I think what we are trying to do as Republicans in the House is look for every place we possibly can to cut spending. We've identified $100 billion in cuts off of the president's proposed budget, $60 billion if you compare it to the 2010 budget. So we have done our part to look for cuts, but we can't end there. We have to also demand that we claw back the $105 billion that was deceptively already appropriated by President Obama.
Again with $105 billion. So as you can tell that, you know, as much as Gregory tried, he couldn't get a straight answer out of this woman, and heaven forbid ask her for directions. So now, here at KRBN Internet News Talk Radio, you know, we believe that you know, this could just be a incident that not all congressmen are that way. So what we did is that we sent our microphones up to Washington, D.C., and, yeah, if you'll sign off on that expense report, Cliff.
Yeah, right.
And we hunted down a congresswoman that we found in D.C. just to see if we could get a straight answer out of her. And here's the audio for that.
There must be one we can get it.
There must be, but I'll let you decide. Folks, this is Robin, and I'm here on special assignment in downtown Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And I'm going to see if I can find a member of Congress that we can interview regarding the possible shutdown of the government and see if we can do it just a little bit better than Gregory did in his interview with Michelle Bachmann. Oh, wait a minute. I see one now. Wait. Yes, it
is. Sounds like she just flew in.
Catch up with her. Hang on a minute. Congresswoman, ma'am, I'm Robin from KRBN Internet News Talk Radio in Eugene, Oregon. Do you have a minute for a few questions?
Only a few minutes.
Okay, great. I just want to have a few questions for you. One, with the advent of the government shutdown, how do you feel about that?
I'm feeling that overall price has risen 39% on all American products, and I think that's pretty good.
But aren't you worried about that if we can't balance the budget and Congress can approve the next budget bill, that aren't you worried about the government shutting down?
I think if we go to use clothing stores and places like that, we'll do a lot better.
But aren't you concerned about, like, the Planned Parenthood and everything that would lose their funding if the government shuts down and the people that are on welfare?
Oh, do you know that over in Britain, or, well, you know, where Prince William's getting married, they now have Prince William and Katie condoms.
Okay. Thank you very much, Congresswoman.
How many years ago did you do this?
There you have it. Congress just can't answer straight questions. So, back to you in the studio, Cliff.
You must have done this many, many, many years ago to pick up steam engines going by.
This is last week.
You trying to tell us that Washington, D.C. is a little behind the times?
It's a little bit.
I agree. We need to shop at thrift stores rather than pay full price for anything. That would solve the problem. We wouldn't need to have all that money. And so we could let the government spend it.
There you go. Anyway, 30 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887. It's a crazy day.
They're spending it anyway, by the way.
They are spending it.
I'll tell you. It's unbelievable. And then they're talking about doing it right here in Oregon, too, by the way. Eugene School District is laying off 108 people. 108 people they've sent out notices to. That's 84 full-time staff, and the rest of them are make up the difference. But 108 teachers that we're talking about that got pink slips, and none of our teachers, and I'm talking about people right here at home who we might think are pretty logical and maybe even your friends, but they're obviously not, because nobody has stepped up and said, we'll take a 10% cut in pay and not lay off 108 people. They'd rather just dump them. I mean, nobody cares about anybody else, and what's going on here? 108 people we're talking about getting rid of, and there's not that many people, and we're talking about Eugene school system, not the whole United States, just Eugene. Well, that's 11%. There's only 996 people all together.
Well, and also what they could do is that they just put the hiring sign back up on the 4J school districts. We need bus drivers.
Why? There's going to be no school to go to, so who cares? I tell you, we do need bus drivers, I suppose. And I suppose you could go from being a school teacher to being a bus driver.
Why, you still keep your benefits.
Well, then they can't. That's the biggest problem, is the benefits. The PERS is going up again this year, and nobody's willing to give up on that. And all the rest of the people, the cities and other people who have jobs, are paying for their PERS. By the way, I sat on the city council, budget council, And we had to sit down and figure out where to cut and what to do because we had to pay more for the PERS. We didn't give it out.
And for those who don't know what the PERS system is in Oregon, that's the estate retirement. And again, since we're running back behind in time, I want to get to the What the Heck Are They Thinking segment here.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me.
What the heck were they thinking?
Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this isn't exactly a headline, but this week's award goes out to Cricket Wireless. And a heads up to consumers, if you decide to swap over from your current carrier over to Cricket, and just one or two things to be aware of, because I went ahead and made the mistake of doing that, going from Verizon to Cricket and back to Verizon. In fact, I think I was the quickest person to come back in their history. And the adventure, we managed to get away with only costing us about $65, but it came close to costing over $200 to switch back, and I'll tell you why. Switching over from Verizon, which we were paying about $119 a month, going to Cricket would be about $50 a month with one of those really nice new smartphones. Oh, cool. Which cost, Cricket had a sale on for $150. And so with the data package and everything else, it was $50 a month, where comparably with the same thing with Verizon with the data package, because Verizon charges a $30 a month data package, would have made it, you know, $149 a month. So the comparison. Now, granted, the coverage is not going to be as good as Cricket. Okay, fine.
As Cricket?
But, I mean, as Verizon, sorry. And if you're in roaming, you've got to prepay your roaming fee. Okay, that's neither here nor there. Here's where the fun begins. All right. What I found out, and they didn't tell me, is that I bought one of those new Android phones. And being a truck driver, hands-free, and plus the fact the new laws, you have to have hands-free, you can't dial out using your Bluetooth. Okay, well, because that's a very necessary thing.
So. Okay, now, are you saying then it's vocal that you're dialing out?
Correct.
Okay.
You push the button on the little Bluetooth, it says, you know, say your command, you say dial Cliff.
Okay.
Says, okay, sure, whatever. All right, well, this wouldn't do it. And it's part of the Android operating system 2.1. 2.2 is coming out, and of course, Cricket didn't know when. In fact, I spent 4 hours on the phone with Cricket trying to go through their automated system. I was going to get some audio, because here's what's really fun about their audio system, you know, their automated system, is that after you get through to the part where it actually will ask you what you're calling about, you can tell it, I'm out of toilet paper, and it will literally, and I did this, and it literally responded, okay, I'll send you to somebody who can help you in just a few minutes, but I need some more questions.
What kind of toilet paper?
Well, it didn't. It was just doing that, yeah. And then it hung up on me a couple times. But anyways, customer support was really bad. But here's where the thing where it costs money. All right, porting the number, which is where you can keep your phone number from one service to another, going from Verizon to Cricket was easy. Going back was, okay, if I went ahead and ported my number from Cricket back to Verizon, it would cancel my Cricket account. And without a Cricket account, I couldn't get the refund on the phone. If I went ahead and got the refund on the phone, it canceled the Cricket account, and my phone number would go off into Never Neverland, and I wouldn't get it back again.
Wow.
So in order to save the money for the phone, or, you know, my refund back and save my number, how we got around that little thing is I took a Verizon phone in, one that wasn't working reliably, and we told them that, okay, I want the refund back on the Cricket Android, and flash the Verizon phone to Cricket and transfer the account over to that. So that way we got the refund back. We got the reduced package and, you know, still active Cricket account. Got home, called Verizon. Verizon ported the number while I was on the phone with him. And so basically we just lost out the first month's because Cricket is prepaid. But the point is to be careful, because if you're not 100% satisfied with what you got and you didn't do your research, like I didn't really do it. I was just looking at the fact I was going to be saving about $700 a year by switching. It cost us money for this adventure, but it could have cost a heck of a lot more if we didn't have a phone to sacrifice.
Well, it's been my experience. I don't think Cricket is everywhere. Cricket's a pretty small outfit still, and they're getting bigger as it goes. But I would be real careful. If you're doing just the basics, maybe Cricket might be fine where you are. But if you're not doing any more, if you're doing much more than just the basics, and you use your phone for a lot of things that other people don't, you might want to really, really look into it if you're moving into Cricket. Maybe one of the other big companies, AT&T or Sprint or something like that. That's a different story. But Cricket is pretty small.
Well, it's pretty small, but like Boost and T-Mobile and the others, they got nationwide coverage.
Just barely.
Well, if you're up and down the I-5 corridors or the major freeways or the larger cities in the Midwest and back east, they're pretty good. They're still got in the West Coast. They're still working on it, but they do have agreements with major carriers. What they didn't tell us is that, and I tested this as I was on Highway 38, which is one of my runs, that in the areas, comparing it to Verizon, if you're in a roaming area, it will say roaming, and you can still make a call out. You just get charged roaming fees. If you don't prepay and have money sitting in the account for roaming when you're in a roaming area, you can't make a phone call. You can't receive a phone call.
Wow. See, that's where I have in AT&T, I have gone around. I've gone places. I've been in other cities, other counties, other states, and I never have a problem. If I want to make a phone call, I make a phone call. It doesn't tell me if I'm roaming or not roaming. It doesn't charge me anything if I am or not. It just makes the phone call or gets the phone call. The only place I've ever been is in Eastern Washington in OMAC, and there's a couple of places over there where my sister lives. Not right where she lives, but there are a couple of places around in that area where there are literally no towers, period. And so you don't get service of any kind. And that's the only experience I've ever had. Everywhere else I've ever been, AT&T just does it. And they don't ask. They don't charge. They don't do anything. You just don't realize anything is going on. I don't know what is going on in the background. There may be all kinds of roaming things going on in the background, but it doesn't show up on my bill. It doesn't show up on my call. I just dial out and it goes.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I wanted to just kind of throw out there real quick is, again, talking about smartphones. Verizon has, they have some nice phones out there, and some of them will do the 3G 5 device hotspot. Well, your data package, which is $30 a month, does not include that. Even though your phone's capable of having another computer connect wirelessly to it and then to the internet, that is an extra charge. And you have to really hunt to find that little provision.
Until you use it.
Right.
And it shows up on your bill.
The advertise that it will do it, but be sure to ask questions and get more details. Otherwise, you may find it yourself being stuck in a 2-year contract and having some pretty big bills as a result of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. My phone is capable of doing a huge amount of things that I don't know about it. I've discovered now that it even has some apps on it. I don't use any of those things and don't pay for them. And I watch my bill. I go online and watch my bill. And if there's anything on there that I don't know what it is, I call them and tell them to take it off.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
And you got to do that too. Because sometimes even their computer system can mess up. I got double billed for about a month and a half before I caught it from an application when I switched over from an older Verizon phone to a newer one and reinstalled the apps. And when I reinstalled it, it showed it in their billing twice. So that's just a technical error. But, you know, if you don't catch it, you know, they're not going to try and catch it for you.
Right. Well, that's and you don't expect him to do that. That's up to you. If you're playing with the phone and you're paying the bill, it's up to you to find out what you're paying for. And if you're paying for something that you don't think you should be paying for, it's up to you to let them know, and they'll take it off. I mean, it's not a matter of a big thing to them. We're talking maybe $50 on your end as compared to $50 billion overall, so they don't really care. They don't want to take everything off for everybody, but if it's a legitimate thing, they'll take it. Of course, the landline phone companies have been doing that for years, and so it's about time. The only thing I'm getting a little upset about is we're getting advertising, text now. And if it's from AT&T, they don't charge you for it, but if it's from somebody else, they do.
And oh, yeah. There was talk about that years ago, and with all this, as soon as phones were able to start receiving text about selling advertisement on it. And it's like, if you want to have people that are really angry, go ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? We're really quite upset. We know we want to accept texts because there are some of our friends who have been known to text us and to send us pictures and things like that. So we don't want to just turn it off and say no. But at the same token, we don't want people telling us, you know, some sort of cream.
Exactly.
Regardless of whatever it's fixing.
Hey, I wanted to pass something on to you. 17 minutes left in the show. It is a short show. Try saying that three times. Robert Bader.
Short show was not a problem. I have a couple of words that I was trying to say today that I couldn't get out for some reason or other.
Anyway, 646-721-9887. Still time to give us a call. You remember on November's election, we had Art Robinson running against Peter DeFazio of the 4th District.
Okay.
And, you know, Peter DeFazio, I guess, how many times has he been elected? About a half dozen, something like that. Well, anyways, this has been kind of making the news recently. Art Robinson's kids, three of his kids, are in Oregon State University going for their, they're in the graduate program. And recently, Art Robinson announced that he was going to try again in the 2014 elections. As a result, all three of his kids are starting to be harassed by school officials at OSU.
I can believe that. I'm not impressed with OSU. I'm sorry. Not at all.
Yeah, they say that all three kids may actually get kicked out of OSU because of Art Robinson's announcement that he's going to run again.
Is there some way they can make that stick?
Well, Art Robinson and one of the sons were on Lars Larson's show this last week, and they've been inviting people from OSU to come and speak and give their reasoning, you know, is this actually what's going on or not? And they're citing, well, we can't comment because federal law says we can't talk about a student without their permission. And the son, I think his name's Joshua, actually on the air and in writing gave permission for school officials to come speak, and so far they have refused to come on the air and discuss the issue. But
so far the issue is just a rumor,
because a rumor and what's actually been happening to the children, to Art's kids, is I guess some of the qualifications, like having some type of advisory committee, which is required for a graduate program. They either lost the graduate committee or the advisory committee, or they can't get one formed. They're getting some of the projects pulled away from him in his studies his research studies that he had, and just a bunch of stuff going on in the background that's changed all of a sudden. And part of the theory is the reason why they don't like Art Robinson as much is because he has openly stated that he does not believe that humans are what's causing global warming.
I believe that too. So whatever.
So it's just kind of interesting, and you know, and I publicly stated that I'm not impressed with the college system, both the University of Oregon, based on my experience, and Lane Community College.
Well, you know, in defense of him, the human beings are not what's causing our crisis in the ecology. It's just something that's going to happen. It's going to be us who's going to have to learn how to live with it. So we do need to address it and consider it, but we aren't making it happen. I don't believe in for a minute, and everybody gets upset when I say this, I don't believe for a minute we can do that. We can contribute. We can make a little itty-bitty difference, but not enough to mess up the world. And we just can't do that. That's just something that we can't do. The universe is bigger than we are by a whole lot. And we kind of have to sit back and just punt. We have to go along with it. I mean, there was an ice age, if you think about it, and nobody could do anything about that. We just had to live through it. And we did, or somebody did. But it's going to happen again, and we know it's going to happen again. We've looked at it and prognosticated it, or whatever you want to call it. But we aren't causing it. We're not helping it either, or not deterring it. Either way, we can't stop it or start it. We just got to learn how to live with it, and that we can do. That is something we can. We can adjust our way of life, but we can't adjust the Earth's way of life.
Well, yeah, but also it's one of those things that uses to get money. Like, for example, when I was in North Dakota, there was actually talk about charging $2 a head for cattle because they fart.
Yeah. Then you realize, of course, we would then all of a sudden be in big trouble because we would probably be feeding the cattle something to keep them from farting, and then they would make them, it would make them unedible, and so we would have a real problem all the way around. We oftentimes attack things from the wrong direction.
That's true.
Never fails. But that's the thing is we've got to learn to live with it. I don't know. We've had so many people making big bucks off of it. Dole being one of the biggest ones, and he's made money and gotten a Nobel Prize and all that sort of thing for doing nothing really. Except bringing it to a bunch of people's attention. Not how to fix it or what to do about it, but just bringing it to their attention more than anything else. And I think we would have caught on without him, to be honest with you. But he made a lot of money at it, so who cares?
Yeah, that's true. Here's one for you. Did you know that using the term in advertising, March Madness, could get you in trouble?
Well, because it's a copyrighted thing for sports.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know that. And even if you use it as a sale in your store, you got to be careful because. I have opinions about that too, because what about this business? I mean, those are just everyday ordinary words. Why are we giving to somebody?
I didn't know you could copyright everyday terminology. March and Madness put together.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I want to use that word, I should be able to use those two words together. I mean, I think that's a problem. We shouldn't be able to just copyright any old thing.
Well, it's just like saying that, okay, the month of March is copyrighted. And for the whole 30 days or 30, 31 days in March, you can't use that term without paying a royalty.
Well, then they need to take it off of my calendar then.
Yeah, so we go February, April.
But I mean, I want to take it off of the calendar I've got hanging on the wall right now. I don't want to wait. Someone has to take it off of there now, somehow. I don't know how they can do that, but if they can't do that, then they can't copyright it. They can't steal it from me.
Well, the Obama administration will probably have a czar that will go around everybody's
house. Come out to my house tomorrow, huh?
Yes, exactly. Well,
I don't care if you don't want to talk about Obama, but you have to talk about Obama because that's the kind of thing he's doing. You realize he went to a school in Florida to try to fix the school. We got so many bigger problems than that. To have him out there addressing the student body in a high school in Florida or whomever he was addressing, this man is dangerous. We've got to get rid of him. We just simply got to get rid of him. And I don't mean next 2 years. We've got to get rid of him now. He needs to resign because he is doing great damage to our country and perpetrating more. We've got problems with he doesn't take it seriously. He thinks it's a big joke. Either that or he's so stupid he doesn't know how to take it seriously. Either way, we're in trouble.
I know he wants to get involved in that newest conflict overseas, which I personally say that... Which of the ten? The revolution that's going on in... is it Libya?
Okay. There's one there.
And they're actually doing pretty good as far as, holding their own over there, but...
No, they're not.
Well, that's heard yesterday, but... I mean, except for Gaddafi's airstrikes and everything, but, they want us to get us... They want us to get involved, and Obama is thinking about getting involved with the no-fly zones as well as having the other countries do the same.
Well, it's about time. I mean, we got Gaddafi over there bombing his own people and strafing them with airplanes and so on and so forth. Why are we letting this happen? Why do we interrupt in one place and not in another?
Well, that's the point. What do you... interfere in? Do you let the people try and take over their government or and go on their side, or do you take over the government's side? What if it happened here? What if we decided to stand up to our government and wanted to take our government back? Are we going to let another country come in and side with our government?
Well, it's not a matter. They're asking. They're asking us to come. That's the point. That's the difference. If we ask somebody to come, I would hope that they would do it. Of course, you got to decide who is we.
Exactly.
But after 40 years, we know who we is because it ain't Gaddafi.
Exactly.
I mean,
back to Obama locally at home here. With the Obamacare provision, he's decided to kind of, even though the courts ruled that it's unconstitutional, they still have not laxed their requirements, except for the fact that Senator Ron Wyden, say that again three times fast, to let the states have their own health care provisions, provided that it follows the Obamacare guidelines and requirements.
Well, first of all, the Obamacare guidelines need to be just expunged and ignored. And yes, I agree with what's her name that we need to get the money back. They need to give the money back, that $105 billion. Do you realize how that got there? They held that bill, 2,900 pages of it. They held that until like just hours before they had – it was the night before that they had to vote on it. And they gave it to them to look at and read, which, of course, they couldn't have read it in that period of time. But they had to vote on it. The vote had to come up. And so that's what they were talking about. We have to vote on the bill before we can even see the bill. Actually, they could see it. They just didn't have time to do anything with it. But, you know, the thing is, what I don't understand is the lack of kahunas that our government has. If that's the case, vote no, period. Always vote no. Right. And then you can go back, and I'm sure that he would resubmit it or something, whatever, to try to get it through, but you'd have time to read it. But you don't vote yes on something of any kind of consequence without having read it. You don't even sign contracts without having read it. We preach this to people over and over and over again. Why is it that our top lawyers, supposedly our top lawmakers, don't understand what they've been preaching all this time? We need to either get these people out of there that are so stupid that they can do what they just did, or we need to get them to do their job and understand what their job is. That's why, again, back to Wisconsin, we need to get them out of there. Not back to work now. It's too late. They've already missed it. They need to go. They need to be removed from office. I don't know how to do it or why, or I know why, but I don't know how to expedite it, just use that word, because I know you can impeach them, and it takes a long time. But basically, we need to put them on permanent furlough, unpaid, and put whoever their executive officer is or their vice, whatever it is, and have somebody else running that office immediately, because this is just absurd that they can just – walk off their post and walk off their job and keep the job and keep getting paid. This is nobody else in the world could do that. If I walked off my job for a day or two or three or four, I'd be gone. But they've been gone a month now. This is just ridiculous. And everybody knows what they're doing. And it's just flabbergasting to me that we let our government get away with this kind of thing.
Well, I agree with you 1,000% on that. It's just like you said, get up there, vote no. Why avoid it?
Yeah. Well, them too. Yes. Everybody. If you don't understand it, if you don't like it, vote your conscience. But vote. It's your job to get up there and do that. It's not just your job to just sit around and do nothing. That's just like our Eugene school district. We're talking about laying off 108 teachers. Why are these teachers that are not being laid off so lackadaisical? Why are they so absolutely unflinched by the fact that they're laying off 108 people, 108 people that they know, friends supposedly, and they're allowing them to be fired and just destroying their lives, and yet they won't step up and do something about it, and they could do something about it without any real trouble, and without actually, I mean, it would be some hardship to them. I suppose if you lost 10% of your wages, instantly, it would make a difference. I can't believe that the money that they're making, and they're not that poor, by the way, I disagree with that, but I can't believe with the money that they're making that they can't make way to lose 10% of their income to save 108 jobs. This is just, these people are just so selfish, I cannot possibly believe it.
Well, here's the thing I haven't heard discussed yet, you know, getting back to the school closures. When you close a couple schools, you're going to displace those kids, which means it's going to cost you more wherever those kids are going to have to go. Because by law, the kids have to go to school somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. So just like a business, completely closing down the business altogether is not going to receive any revenue off that business. Well, the state pays, I think, what is the all funds now, about over $10,000 per student. And so by closing those schools, they're taking some of what they're getting in to nothing.
Well, they've already looked at that. They've looked at how much it costs to keep that school open, because you don't keep a school open. Some of these schools that have been being closed have less than half of their population in them now. So consequently, it costs X amount of dollars to operate a school. You've got to have the staff. You've got to have the maintenance. You've got to have all these things. If you close a school and you put it in mothballs, so to speak, it costs you significantly less. I mean, just pittance as compared to actually operating the school. And I'm sure they've sat down and figured out how much you get as opposed to how much you lose. And I'm sure that there's a good reason for closing the school. You actually save money, even though you put those people in other schools. Because the other schools are running at lower capacity as well, and so we may as well fill them up. And it's a lot more efficient to run a school that's full than it is to run a school that's empty. So consequently, I'm sure that they've considered that as to which schools to close and which schools not to close. And so there's a good reason for closing schools. The teachers, on the other hand, there is no logical reason behind that. There's no reason that they can't do something about it. And the only thing that it is just pure selfishness, or perhaps their union. Their union is telling them that they can't do whatever they want to do. I mean, there's nothing but selfishness behind that. I can't think of anything else. There's no reason behind it. So somebody's got to step up to the plate and do something logical, and we're not doing it yet. And we're going to, they're hoping for taxes.
And speaking of stepping up to the plate, if you heard something in the news that just makes smoke come out of your ear, send us an email. We'll use it as a topic on one of our Well, anyways, we'd love to hear from you at talkkrbradio.com.
Until then, we're going to go away and come back again.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.
Okay, and sometimes we're not going, so even though we won't be broadcasting over the phone, but people in the chat room, if you want to keep going.
Oh, so we're going to continue going on?
No, we can try it. We can in 0 seconds, because a lot of times it'll keep recording the archives.
I see. You never know, huh? Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know. I just get this. You talk about fire coming out of my ears. This school thing does it to me, because they're talking about the bond issue now. They're talking about levying a bond, and that's. That's their answer to everything. I mean, can't they possibly think about the fact that I don't care what they say. As far as I'm concerned, they're overpaid. Everybody else thinks school teachers are not overpaid. But if you look at what they're getting and what their PERS is and the retirement and their benefits and all that sort of thing, they're making big bucks. And the thing that upsets me is they think it's going to go on after they're no longer working and still making the big bucks. And I think that what's going to happen is the states are going to go bankrupt. And if you go bankrupt, you can't pay the PERS. The PERS is going to go away, and you've contracted in for nothing. So you should be smarter than that and take a little bit of a pay cut and at least keep your job so that you don't end up retired and broke both.
Okay, we just lost the two people that were in the chat room.
Ah, so they're not listening.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But anyway, that's the way I look at it.